Having wonderful conversations, do we want to do it as part of the meeting?
You should.
Yeah,
call
we really
it
have to have a meeting.
We do. Yeah, we do. So we'll call a meeting to order at 5:03. And we have in attendance from the committee myself, Kathy Nolan, filling in for Craig Lopez, who is absent, and Laura Petit and Mary Warrow. So until they're available, maybe we could look
at
the minutes.
For the minutes?
Mm-hmm.
I'll move them.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. And it's nice for the commissioner to come on a tough day for him.
Yeah. That's sad.
So, let's look at the resolutions. Do we want to pass on any of these until the commissioner comes back?
So, I mean, I think if anybody has questions, then I'm happy to answer the questions to the best of my ability. If there's further questions, then we can.
Okay. So let's look at, we can make a motion to block these for the purposes of voting. Resolutions 273 to 285 all deal with preschool special education services. To block them?
I'll second.
All in favor of blocking those resolutions?
Aye.
Aye. So let's discuss them because Legislator Petit had a question in particular about.
Can I give you the information I have?
Yes, give us the background and then maybe
questions. So these are all preschool special ed service providers. State education policy ensures that preschool aged children with disabilities receive timely and appropriate services in the least restrictive environment. Under these contracts, children are evaluated to assess their needs and assist in developing each child's individual service plans. Each evaluation is paid at the state set rate and conducted in the family's preferred language. Individual licensed therapists are paid state approved rates, $80 per individual session for services provided to youth between the ages of 3 and 5. Speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, psychological therapy, social work services for the visually and or hearing impaired, audiology services, and parental education services. There's also tuition-based special education programs. They're paid state-set tuition for half-day or full-day enrollment programs during the school year. These are schools like NYSARC and Columbia County ARC or Partnership for Education. They're 4-year contracts, and using historical expenditures of these particular vendors, it is anticipated that they're all going over $50,000.
And is that Brookside too?
I didn't see Brookside on there.
It might not be one of these.
Yeah, I don't think it's one of these.
It's all individuals.
And they're state 59.5% and county 40.5%, primarily. I'm not sure if that percentage changes on any of them. But it's
pretty standard.
State and county split in a fairly standard percentage. Legislator Petit, did you want to ask about
I do. Well, I'm seeing here that they are referring to the state Medicaid program, so I'm assuming that what this does is this lines up basically a field of options.
Yes.
And we've negotiated prices, and then the state picks it up in full?
No.
It's just short of 60%. From the state and for about a little over 40% from us.
From the county. Okay. And that was the question on that. Looks like they're all the same.
Yes.
Negotiated the same prices. Okay.
Bye bye. That was about the ICE and CBP proclamation.
Glad to have Commissioner Iaposi join us and Deputy Executive Ryder.
We're blocked in 273 to 285.
Okay. We blocked these. There was a question about the way in which the county contracts with individual service providers who are
solo practitioners, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just explain how that works?
We try to contract with as many of them as we possibly can, to be perfectly honest with you. The population of children who are requiring these types of early intervention and special education services is growing at such a rapid rate that anybody who we're able to identify with the certification, the licenses, and the experience, we're trying to enter into contracts with. And we're trying to enter into contracts for multiple years so that we can hopefully develop relationships with them, particularly around the age group that they're servicing.
Which is the younger ages?
Yeah, this is preschool, early intervention and preschool. So you're talking about toddlers, preschoolers, and then by the time they arrive into the school system, those services that they were receiving privately will be picked up generally by the schools. But one of the benefits of having multiple year contracts is that the children don't end up going to different service providers year after year after year. Mm-hmm. It's something that a lot of people don't think about, but it's a field and a discipline that's in high demand. And over multiple years, the contracts are going to exceed the $50,000 threshold. So that's really our reasoning behind entering into them. And like many of our contracts, it will only be arrived at transactions taking place if they provide services to children that we identify.
Does that fill it in?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Thank you.
Any other questions about this group of resolutions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And let us go to resolution 286. Approving the execution of contracts and contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Unlimited Care Inc. Department of Social Services. And
I'll move it.
Second.
Any background that you would like to give us on this?
Just that these are usually contracts arrived at where individual LPNs service students who have special needs like oxygen, trachea,
catheters,
and they basically need to have care 24 hours a day, and in order for them to be able to be safely transported and participate in the preschool programs that they enter into, they'll ride the bus with them, be at the facilities all day, return. So that's really the background on these.
And this goes beyond pre-K?
No.
Because I'm just thinking there's a young man, he actually is really impressive, but he has a full-time, 21 surgeries, and he's just, all he does is smile. So, and he's graduating.
A fourth grader at Graves,
yeah, wonderful, but
at that point in time, the school systems will become involved in coordinating those arrangements.
Once they hit kindergarten.
Right.
Okay.
Again, it's early intervention and preschool.
Okay.
The program that we're in charge of that evening.
All right. Any other questions? We'll do 286 and 287 separately, even though they're similar.
I'll move it.
We're going to take a vote on 286?
Yeah. Okay.
Aye.
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 Okay.
And then 287?
I'll move it.
Good.
I'll second.
And it's the same sort of contract, but with a different provider?
Correct.
Any other questions?
Uh-uh.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I'm an aye as well. I'm not signing these things yet. Oh, we've got the whole stack of these.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Resolution 288. I don't have it up in front of me yet, sorry. Yeah, let me do it this
way. I'll move it.
Second. I know you don't want to, but.
Yeah, that's good. Approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into the County Northeast Parent and Child Society. So it's been moved and seconded. Is there background for us on this one?
Just a little bit of background on this. We do like to have a contract in place with Northeast. If we have a foster child who requires the kind of services and treatment for traumatic brain injury or other rehabilitation services, we might at any point in time have a child that finds him or herself in that scenario. So again, with regard to being able to make sure that children are care and custody, whether they're placed in foster homes, relative foster homes, or congregate care facilities, if they encounter illness or injury, we'd like to be able to have that ready to go.
And then we did, I think, place, this is an amendment, right?
Yeah, this is an amendment.
And we have placed some.
We have incurred expenses, and so now we've exceeded the threshold amount.
Oh my goodness.
We've been joined by legislator Julius Collins. Thank you. And we're discussing resolution 288. So do we currently have children
yes.
who are receiving care through Northeast?
We have, yes.
We do. All right. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Resolution 289. Approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 into the county family of Woodstock. And we have a lot of contracts with the family of Woodstock. This mm-hmm. one, it does what?
This is a specific to kids that are in the PINS or JD case management category. So our goal here is to do everything we can with respect to providing services that help support keeping the children in placement at home while it's possible mm-hmm. and safe. Obviously, keeping children at home, we avoid costly placement in detention, which can be arrived at for children who are the subject of PINS or JD. And part of the contract provides weekly family counseling sessions in an attempt to foster dynamics to divert from the underlying behavior that resulted in the PINS or the JD. We do have performance measures, and in the past year, we had 36 youth and families that received services under that contract, and 34 of those 36 families avoided placement as a result of the services rendered. And then we do capture reimbursement, you know, for these contracts based on the types of services that were provided.
This is federal 37%, state 52%, and the county just 11%. Is there presently, or is there a plan to try to coordinate these services with the Restorative Justice Center?
You know, this is an interesting question, and we'll probably be here until Friday because of the complicated explanation behind it. I would have to say no is the short answer. And the short mm-hmm. answer is no, because children that are already in the system, either through placement with DSS care and custody, getting preventive services in foster care, part of JD or PIN, we already have an extremely strong infrastructure of services in place.
Mm-hmm.
The Restorative Justice Center goals, as I see them unfolding, are to reach the larger population and to be able to provide programs and services to children that might be vulnerable to maybe those behaviors,
mm-hmm.
to get involved before there's a JD or
mm-hmm.
a PINS.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also not necessarily something that's specifically related to raise the age either. I mean, raise the age, restorative justice, and JD and PINS are all kinds of activities and mechanisms that can overlap. There can
mm-hmm.
be intersectionality. But I think as our restorative justice conversations and advisory council and programming evolves under the Brighter Futures initiatives, we're really trying to provide programs there and outreach throughout the community, not for the kids who are already in the system, so to speak. So
and
that's really the distinction that I would make, because these have been programs that we have always had. Whether they might involve some restorative justice
right.
dynamics
so
and concepts.
Yeah, it sounds
like
they have those elements.
That's what I was going to say.
We do have some
we
programs that involve those concepts, but
we
this is
divert
not
and we push towards diversion just as a matter of
matter
course,
of normal
regardless
JDs.
Of whether it's in the Restorative Justice Center. Diversion would be, you know, in fact, many of the judges, the family court mm-hmm. judges, unless they we've attempted diversion, oftentimes won't even.
Juvenile probation officers are required and mandated to explore diversion services for all of the cases that they get. And that has always been the case, even prior to the time that we were exploring restorative justice programming and concepts.
And so there's already a system and personnel and programmatic focus in place that has its, that is succeeding. What did you say? It was 40 out of?
In this particular program, through Family of Woodstock, we had 36 youth and their families receive services under this contract, and 34 avoided DSS or OCFS placement.
That is just that's tremendous.
Yeah.
That's really,
and we have some,
I wouldn't mess with
really
that.
Really capable providers. Really, really capable providers.
Yeah.
And I like what you said, the Brighter Futures program. I mean, you know, really with a little extra help, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Family's also doing a program with restorative justice.
On 180, mm-hmm. the 180 program.
All right, well, we will get that question, and now we know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so it's not
any
a
other
hard
questions?
No, but it's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you,
it's
didn't
like
you move
a
it?
Soft
I moved it, but
oh, did Laura second?
Oh, I'll
yep.
second it.
Good. any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Resolution number 296, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement for a preschool special education and related services program with the Onteora Central School District, Department of Social Services.
I'll move it.
Second.
And do you want to say anything about this one?
Onteora schools do evaluations, and they're authorized to provide psychological, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and speech therapy services. So this is a contract that we've had in place with them for students that are identified with those needs, and not all of the school districts offer that.
That's too bad.
Yeah, but they do, so this is one that we've had in place.
I wonder what we can do to get the other schools on board. Is Kingston one of them?
I don't know if they might be doing it, but they might be doing it with other funding resources. So.
And the financial impact here, we already have money budgeted to this, but we anticipate, so I wasn't sure what these numbers tell us here. We have appropriated dollars, state revenue dollars, budgeted state revenue dollars, and budgeted county dollars.
So I think part of the trick is that the state's on a different fiscal year than we are, which is maybe why it's so.
The total amount
it's appropriated through the budget, but our
I see.
Part of it's 2019. Part of it's going to be. I mean, the 29th. So part of it is going to lap over into 2020.
Okay.
Because of how the school year goes.
Yeah, the numbers, the second and third numbers equal the first number, but.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
Well, one of them is off by. No, it's the 50 cents makes it work out, right?
No. 2 plus 2 equaling 4 is always good. Something that feels right still.
All right. Well, that helps me understand why that's coming through like that. Any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
It looks like a 4-year contract. They're all 4-year contracts, or is this a 5?
This one is
a 4.
There are appropriation numbers for
July 2019.
This is 5.
23.
The others were 4-year contracts, I think.
Right, and it's going to be under 50, but because it's an intermunicipal, it's why we had to come here.
Because it's with the school district.
Right.
All right. Is there any new business or old business that we should discuss? I know I can give a little bit of an update, just that Tom Cajun's issue about marijuana awareness, he did bring to the media, and there were a couple of a letter to the editor and a feature-length article written about high marijuana use at Ulster County high schools. I don't know if there is an effective way for this committee to address or work on that issue. We did have the presentation on criminalization versus legalization of marijuana that will at some point come to us but is not in front of us now, may not come to us this year.
Right.
So I want to continue to give it attention. I think we pledged to do that, but I'm not sure the best way to do that.
I think part of it is we have to wait for it to even come.
Yeah, and
as far as here goes.
Yeah, and I guess I have a question about what is already done in the schools in regard to outreach or education about this area. I see that there's some programs coming up about sex education in the schools, which of course is one of the ways that best ways to deal with sexually transmitted diseases is to do sex education. And I have a feeling that we might have, you know, there's data available to show that the one way to deal with teenage drug use is by whatever educational programs are in place or could be put in place. So I'm not sure where in county government that resides, if it does.
But I also think
it might be in the school system, for example.
But I also think being legal is going to make a whole different ballgame than anything that they're doing now, once it becomes.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I'm just trying, you know, and I think, you know, though I don't agree with some of the inferences that Mr. Cajun drew, I think the data is there. We know that we have a county in which we've held festivals that are known for encouraging a more lenient attitude towards drug use, at least in adults. And so the question I'm raising for us, or want to keep present for us, is what can we start doing in 2019 that will help us be one of the states that has fewer problems if we do legalize? Because the presentation that we receive says that some states have had considerable problems.
But I think no edibles would be a huge step.
Uh-huh. Legalizing the use.
We can put our own restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that would be a huge restriction, because I think that that's where we really come up with a lot of problems, especially for kids. Mm-hmm. I just can't even imagine. I was talking to somebody who was out in California. His son, I guess you can buy gummy bears that are low dose and high dose.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad had a low dose one and it was fine. And then he had two of the high dose and didn't know it. He really wasn't fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, little developing bodies, that it shouldn't. They shouldn't even be able to market it in things that are marketed already.
Mm-hmm. But what would be, I think what we could do that might be helpful would be if there is research that looks at this to bring that in and educate ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I would like to know, and maybe there's a way we can find out what the schools are doing.
Reach out to the schools.
Reach out to the schools.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see this as besides the opt-in, opt-out, what Tom's concern is has to do with currently going on in the schools and the amount of drug use that currently goes on in the schools. I'm not sure that I see as a big county role. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear him, and he's come in and spoke to the county executive and come to our office, but I think much of this education needs to be done in the schools.
Well, I think he's got a valid point, but as far as what we can do for it is a different story. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
I did intend to follow up on some of the literature that the group who came in and presented suggested, that especially in England they're doing research on the extent to which experimentation with hallucinogens, and in this case particularly marijuana, can lead to psychotic episodes. And that would be important information, I think, for even young people might be able to understand if there is a significant risk that you start having psychosis if you use these materials.
But I just think part of the problem is, and it's across the boards always, even when we're kids, they don't believe it.
Yeah,
you know, like you just felt like you know, I'm invincible. Yes. And I'm gonna go do whatever, and they, you know what I mean? I think it's hard for them to really.
But we've made some
from there.
We've made some impacts on cigarette smoking by a cultural awareness of
Questionnaire is how long did it take?
It took decades.
Well, I'm taking
since I was
and they're all
a little
vaping,
kid.
Yeah.
Decades. But and now we have
now starting to pay attention. Mm.
And now we have to deal with vaping, which they're trying, which the vaping companies are trying to present as though it's new. So I don't think we're done on that. I'm just trying to see if there are any ways that we can be helpful.
Well, I think one of the reasons smoking has made any gains is that the advertising has been more limited.
Yes.
We've limited it, and now the vaping and those commercials are now, I'm starting to see them on TV.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. And we're going to have to have legislation on them as well. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Good night. Nice to see you
Good
all.
Night.
Good night. Anything else?
No, but just, I mean, medical marijuana is already out there. I've actually, without discussing it, bumped into two people who showed me their cards, and they have these little pens that they carry around as an anti-anxiety.
But, yeah. Kathy, is that, in I know originally in New York State it was going to be and not have the high, the medicinal was not going to have the high in it. Is that true or no?
You can get CBD, which is a cannabinoid, without having, that doesn't have any high associated with it. And that's sold without a prescription.
Oh,
it's,
it is.
It's now in the health food stores.
She sells it, that like, on her 5-year-old
yeah. And that comes in different dosages, if you will, or different concentrations. But for marijuana itself, or THC, you will have a high associated with
it. It is in the medical?
Yeah.
That they're, because I know originally the governor was not going to allow that to be part of it, but I wasn't sure where that ended up.
No, I think, and there are some studies that suggest that THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, which is the active ingredient in smoked or ingested marijuana, has a more potent medicinal effect along with what we call a high, a change in psychological feeling or emotional tone, whereas CBD, which does not have that change in psychological perception or emotional tone or mood, for many people doesn't seem to be as effective. It can have a slight anxiety reduction, and some people find that it has gives them pain relief. Mm-hmm. So it seems to be very individualistic. Mm-hmm. The medical marijuana can be used for nausea with chemotherapy, mm-hmm. and it can be very important there. It can be very important for pain control in some circumstances, mm-hmm. and anxiety control. So the medical marijuana has been studied more for those effects, and it may be that if further studies go on with the CBD, that we find uses for it as well. But for now, medical marijuana should not be taken in an operator, heavy machinery, an automobile or machinery.
Well, and that's where our problem is. Like, it's cut and dry with alcohol. You can test, and marijuana stays in your system, so there's no way to know or document
what caused you. I think that we will need to, as a society, move to using your function as whether or not you should be driving. And if you're functionally impaired,
that's
to me,
true.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You should know
Could be
before you get in a car.
Or yeah.
And
yeah.
I had thought for a while that we should go in as far as putting interlock devices on cars, but of course people can get around that by having somebody else do it or other ways to avoid the system. So I think that it's just at the time that you are picked up or that there's a problem that emerges, you can be tested for whether you're impaired. If you're impaired, you're impaired. And I think driving while impaired is probably going to become the catch-all category, mm-hmm. and we won't always be able to prove what it was that impaired the person.
I think knowledge of that, which is kind of hard not to have knowledge of, becomes the issue.
Well, these mobile phones that we carry in our hands.
These are very distracting, aren't they?
Well, they are distracting, but what I was going to say is you could put an app on this, and I haven't checked to see if it's out there, but you could put an app on this that you could do a self-test and know in seconds whether or not your reaction time is dulled. And I think we're going to need to, as a society, ask people to self-test in that regard. And if your phone doesn't tell you you can drive, you don't drive.
Well, I think a lot of it is getting past our or egos.
Yes.
More than anything else.
Yeah.
I know the average alcoholic, you tell him he can't, his ego says, I've been drinking all my life, I can deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are those that are real casual, that think they can handle 3 or 4 drinks, and it's not going to bother them. And when the alcohol really kicks in, I'm out in the middle of the thruway somewhere. So it's a lot of things, but it's more education of individuals as to what it is. If I go and have one drink, I know that generally I'm pretty cool. I have 2, then I know that I need to leave my car, sit somewhere, unless it's been 3-4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you've got to know that about yourself, and you've got to be willing to submit to it. And that's a large part of what we're working with, because most of us just aren't willing to submit to it, or we think we're high enough to sneak through. So, and I think we're finding out more and more people in high places are finding out that they can't creep through the way they used to creep through, and that is having an effect in itself. So that's good.
Yeah, I think. Go ahead, Mary.
Oh, I just looked it up, and there was higher than anticipated. They anticipated that marijuana exposure would escalate overdoses in children, or poisons in children. But they said it went up much higher than they thought. It was 1.2 per 100,000 population 2 years before legalization, and it's 2.3 per 100,000.
And where is this?
Colorado.
In Colorado, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they said on younger children, the more severe it's, some of them had to be put on respirators and stuff. It suppresses their
breathing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those kind of things are things just like alcohol has always been something that, except for the real crazy parents, you didn't let your children go there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a certain age, you say, okay, fine. But you didn't let them go there. So you didn't have as much of a problem with youngsters as we're having today, because people are crazy. It's,
I know.
You know,
but at least alcohol looks like alcohol. You know, mm-hmm. to these kids,
like a brownie.
It looks like a brownie or a Rice Krispie treat or gummy bears, mm-hmm. especially, is mm-hmm. really disturbing to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
really
that's
disturbing.
Crazy,
that's
a gummy bear loving family.
Yeah, could you imagine?
And they come up drugged. We're in big trouble.
Yeah.
And that's so, I mean, where? I believe recognized items that have been on the market for years should be left alone. Okay. If you want to put it in something, you put it in something new so that it does not have the automatic attraction
mm-hmm.
that it has. Kids that love candy. A gummy bear is a treat.
Well, look at for years ago, blue, like Windex was blue because nothing that kids ate were blue, and now there's blue stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when my kids were little, it was kind of like, you know, you wouldn't touch blue things then. Kool-Aid got blueberry.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, we won't probably be in charge of that, any of us here, but if we are, I think not.
But we can.
Not yet.
But we could opt out of edibles in the county.
We'll have to look at, yeah, we could. It'll be, you know, the more we change it around from what the state is doing, the more transaction costs there are on that. And, you know, maybe we do have a way, or some of us, to connect with groups or influence. I think having edibles, none of them be sweet, that are available for purchase, might be smart. You know, that you can eat it, but it's
gel caps or something.
But I'm with both of you. I think that when we put a substance that is doing something quite different into products that have always been associated with just nutrition or a sweet.
It was never good for you.
It was never good for you, but
it was attractive.
It wasn't likely to cause psychosis if you had a if you
or
had a
respiratory
gummy
problems
bit,
or,
bit,
or,
yes.
or whatever.
I mean, when we were
overdose.
Younger, they had candy cigarettes, and
right.
they don't sell those anymore,
right.
or bubblegum cigarettes and all that really cool stuff. So
right, some of the materials that
Remember?
The
I know.
Anti or the criminalization.
You couldn't light it up.
They even had bubblegum cigars.
So, yeah, but the thing was, is you ate it. You didn't.
You didn't
light it up.
Yeah.
So it's
still we used to
put
it was
that
subtle.
You
subtle
that,
marketing.
That I think I'm big now because I'm doing this. But it could not hurt you in the same way.
That's true.
So it was. It had its. It had purpose. Kids loved it. Kids loved them, and it wasn't destructive.
Did you want a motion to?
Yeah, I think we've covered everything we have to cover today.
Make a motion to adjourn.
And is there a second?
A second.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
We're going to hang out all night. But
yeah.
Well, I think.
Yeah.
I